Brother Paul at 6 o'clock this afternoon, so or this evening. So be much in prayer for us as we as the ordaining church ordain Paul, and he'll be pastoring Rock Springs over in Ramburn, so he's going to lead a lot of prayers over there in Ramburn. But now seriously, have any prayer requests this morning before we get started? Remember the Riddle family, as Brother Jerry's funeral will be this afternoon. Continue to remember Jane McDaniel and Jackie as he recovers. Got Sister Kelly back this morning. Glad she's feeling better. Do you have any more prayer requests? Boy, y'all quiet this morning. Remember our church and be much in prayer as we'll be having revival the second week in September. It seemed like a long ways away when I started talking about it and said it, but it's not going to be. We'll turn around. It'll be here. But Brother Randy Robinson from Stedman Baptist Church in Tallapoosa will be preaching for us Monday through Wednesday. May even have another special preacher that Sunday night. So be praying for revival and invite people. And the most important part of a church revival is the church is here. If you're not here, you can't be revived. And revival is for the church. Yes, we hope there's lost souls saved, but revival is for us that are his. You can't be revived if you've never been alive. So be praying for it and make sure we support our revival this year that's coming up and looking forward to it. Anything else? Remember our youth. They're about to go down the river, and I hope they all stay in the boat or either on top of the water. But be much in prayer for safety for them as they travel to there and float down the river for some good time of fellowship. And just pray for safety. Anybody else? Brother Brandon, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Father God, we're so thankful for this day that you bless us with, God. Thank you for another opportunity that we have in the church to come to fellowship, God, with you and with each other. Lord, this morning we pray that you just be in our midst, God, as we fellowship and as we worship, God, and hear the message that you've laid on Chad's heart today, God. We just pray that you just, God, you just remove him out of the way this morning. Need prayers, God. We lift up all those names, all the unspoken, Father, that you know who they are and know exactly what to do with those, Lord. We just pray that as a church that you'll allow us to rally around those this morning. And all these things we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
The King of Glory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy.
great song. I was sitting there thinking as y'all was singing, grace to cover every sin. Not a one that can get by it. Thank God for that this morning. You know, we've preached a lot about growing lately, and it's not going to end much today, but the Lord's laid on my heart about watchmen. I began studying this week in Ezekiel chapter number 33, and that's where we'll be today, in Ezekiel chapter 33. Began studying about watchmen and began thinking about watchmen and truly what was a watchman. In that day, the cities had great walls about them, and if you've ever studied much about ancient cities, that was their only defense. Didn't have the great things we have today, the military forces that we have today, and the computers and all this stuff that can see danger approaching. And my goodness, you think about us. We can know what the weather is pretty close 4 or 5 days in advance. And we have security cameras that we can have our phone and we can be in another part of the country and see what's going on at our homes or our businesses or at our church. And just amazing what we have. But in that day, they had watchmen. Was a man set apart to set up on a wall and watch. You're sitting there thinking, well, what was he looking for? He was looking for the enemy. Looking for the enemy, looking for, if you study about an enemy, the Bible is always correct. You can never find an error in it. But it defines an enemy perfect. It says he only comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. You think about any enemy that you have, and I hope we don't have many, but if we do have an enemy, and our country definitely has enemies, we read about them, we see about them on TV, and of course we was attacked in our country in 2001, and that enemy come in sneakingly. They snuck in. Although they had been in our country for many years, they flew under the radar, so to speak, until they got able to fly planes, and they crashed into our buildings and killed our people. But they didn't walk in with their hands up saying, here we are, we've come to kill you. And us as a country and as watchmen, we missed that. We missed a bunch of opportunities to stop that attack that was on our country. And I'm afraid in our churches we have missed a bunch of attacks. In our communities, in our land, we have missed plain visual evidence of the enemy coming to attack us. And I believe the reason is we have a lack of watchmen. We have a lack of watchmen. If you decided you wanted to be a watchman in that day, I don't know that they took applications or any of that, but I promise you if you went up and you said, I want to be a watchman, but I'm blind, they'd probably say, brother, I hate to inform you of this, but you can't be a watchman. You went up and you said, brother, I want to be a watchman, but I can't speak. They would say, I'm sorry to tell you, but you can't be a watchman. If you was to say, I want to be a watchman, but I fall asleep really easy. You can't be a watchman. A watchman's got to be visual. They got to be able to hear. They got to be able to see. They got to be able to speak. And we've got watchmen is what we're lacking today. And I began thinking about this thing and reading Ezekiel, and the Lord began putting on Ezekiel's heart to be a watchman there. And in Ezekiel's part, he was a prophet. And God had to tell Ezekiel, he was using it for an example of what to be as a prophet. He was to be watching. He was to be telling what God said if he saw the enemy approaching. And I began thinking about the enemy, and it's so evident. If you begin really taking time to try to look for him, you can find him. It's something that's not, he is sneaky, and he comes in unaware sometimes, but if we're on the watch, we could find him. But let me read to you Ezekiel chapter number 33, verse 1 through 11. And we'll be other places today, but I hope when we're done with this that we can truly grow as being watchmen for God's people. We can be watchmen for our lost neighbors, our lost communities. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Boy, this is scary stuff as being a pastor. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak, to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, Isaiah, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this day you've given us to live. Father, we ask that you touch our congregation today, Lord, you open hearts and open minds that we truly may see what it is to be a watchman. Lord, I pray you put it upon our hearts to desire to be watchmen for you and the Father, that no, we only not see the enemy coming, that we speak it and we proclaim it, that he's coming, and we warn the lost souls is what is coming to pass. And Father, I pray that you give us the understanding to realize it's our job. It's our responsibility. You have set us as watchmen up on the wall, and you expect us to be about our duty. Lord, I ask you to forgive us where we failed you in this. And Lord, help us to do better. We're just because we realize we failed, there's no reason to stay down. Help us go forward. Lord, we ask you to bless this sermon and everything we do here. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Very serious warnings was given to that watchman. Do you understand what he told him? He said, if you see something coming and you begin yelling and telling the people the enemy is coming and they take not heed, then it's on them. But if you see the enemy coming and you don't tell anybody, then it's on you. And church, I'm afraid that we're going to stand before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guilty as everything about this, because we have stopped for some reason in our land, in our little communities, of proclaiming the gospel as we should. We just have. I think it's done for we're afraid if we preach the truth that people may not come back. If we tell them a certain sin's wrong, they may not return. But we need to realize something, that we have a job as pastors. We have a job as preachers. We have a job as teachers. We have a job as deacons, as church members. We all are in this thing together. We have a job to be standing up on the wall yelling to them, it's coming. The end is coming. Jesus is going to return. If you're found in your iniquity, you will open your eyes in a place called hell. But he tells us here, he says, I have no desire that the wicked die. I have no desire that they die in their sins. He desires that every single person be saved. He sends his spirit to draw that person. At that point in time, they have an opportunity to say yes or no. But it's mine and your job. No, I can't save a soul, or you can't either. But my job is to tell them the enemy is coming. He is coming. I want you to look at this. What was he watching for? What was the enemy? Well, what was the watchman to be looking for? Of course he was to be looking for the enemy, but there were signs that he could tell that the enemy was coming. And I began reading about this morning about what a watchman did, and there was a bad problem with stealing in that day. They would bring the crops in the city to sell, and these thieves would come in, and they would steal. They would steal the goods and run away with them. And of course, the people wouldn't get no money, and the people wouldn't get any food. So without food and some more money, people couldn't survive. So the watchman not only watched for the enemy coming to kill, but to steal. And I want you this morning, we need to be watching all around our land. You realize this, that enemy that we have is Satan. He is very real. There's no denying it today. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge that. They want to believe in angels. They want to believe in Jesus. They want to believe in God and the good things. But may I tell you today that just as they are real, Satan is real. He does not like you. He don't want anything to do. All he wants to do with you is to kill you, to destroy you. He cares absolutely nothing about you. He is the father of lies. There's never been a truth in him, and there'll never be a truth in him. I've heard people say, well, I think I'll just hang out with old devil. That's where I'm going to be anyway. Well, bless your heart. That ain't going to be as fun as you think it is. According to the Bible, it says there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I don't know about you, but I don't even like going to the dentist and having a drill in my teeth, much less going somewhere where the teeth is gnashing and there's eternal torment. Why in the world, the scripture says, why will they die in their sins when they such a great salvation? It don't make any sense to me why people will leave this walks of life. And listen, we don't never know when that day is coming. Brother Jerry, Larry Riddle's brother, had no idea that day was coming for him so early. Many others that have done this have no idea the day is coming. But may I tell you, the day is coming today. Where should be a watchman on the wall preaching it, proclaiming it, yelling if we have to. The day is coming. Be ready. Amen. But the enemy, he leaves signs. I didn't know the message in this, Brandon, but the little store out beside us got broke into this week. And there's a little Indian fella out there. Boy, he's just as nice as he can be. And I got to tell you this before I get to the other place. I was cutting up with him yesterday, and I got a bag of potato chips before he had my pizza ready. And I took that bag of potato chips and went home, and I come back to pay him, got my pizza and paid him, and he forgot to put my potato chips on there. I said, "Peter, I'll just steal these potato chips." He said, "No, no, no, the Jesus is watching." And maybe I've made an impact on him some way. But listen, his store got broke into, and I went another morning, and he was all beside himself. And he had to show us the video. And they got broke into by a professional criminal, if you want to say there's such a thing. This man came at about 12:30 and cut the lines to the store. Cut the phone lines, cut the lines to his internet, cut everything completely. Dismantled it, and then he waited 2.5 hours and come back and robbed the store. They had videos of him. He come in, looked like somebody on TV, Terry. He was good. But he come in, and there was signs that you could pick up on him. The one thing was he had on a distinctive pair of tennis shoes. And he had a tattoo on the back of his neck, so I'm going to be looking at y'all's shoes and necks when you leave. But listen, he left a sign. There was signs that he was coming. But I imagine this man, to know where those lines was, at some point he'd come in that store that week probably. He had searched that thing out. He knew where everything was. He knew exactly what to do. He knew exactly what time to do it. And if we just had our eyes open, we could have been watching for him. It's the same way Satan is in our church and our communities. If we got our eyes open and watching for him, we can see him. Hey, it's plain. This rascal is tearing homes up left and right. He starts so innocent. Boy, he starts so innocent. He says, hey, just take one of them drinks. It ain't going to hurt you. Just take a smoke of that, whatever that drug is. One ain't going to bother you. It ain't going to do this. And I began to thinking, and I was reading something on Facebook, and I don't know where this comes from. This is free. Y'all get it. Y'all ain't got to pay me for it. But listen, it was talking about, is it okay for a Christian to drink or do other things? Is it okay? And it's like the Lord spoke to me and said, hey, you can argue all day long is one drink wrong, but what I promise you is if you don't take one drink, you can't take 10. Right. If you don't take one smoke, you can't take 2. If you completely stay away from them, the Bible teaches to stay from even the evil, the presence of evil. The appearance of evil, you need to stay away from it, have nothing to do with it, because that enemy, he will come in, and before you know it, he has robbed your house. He's completely taken your wife. He's taken your children. He's done away with everything you've ever had. And he's sitting there laughing because he cares nothing about you. And we need people today. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm not bragging on anybody else. But we need people who will stand and preach that sin is sin and wrong is wrong. And bless God, it's time we get back to the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, what was he watching for? The enemy was trained to see signs of the enemy. I mean, the watchman was trained to see the enemy coming. He knew what he would be riding on, what kind of horse or what kind of buggy he'd come on. He knew what he would do when he got to the gate. He knew exactly every little thing for it. In church, I'm afraid we have failed today of warning our congregation of how to tell that the enemy is near, of how to tell. And the reason we've got to this place is our churches became so entangled with the world, most people can't tell the difference. I remember a day when you was around somebody, and it was pretty evident they was a Christian, Terry. They didn't talk the way you talk. They didn't do the things you did. They didn't go the places you went to. But bless God, it ain't that way now. You can hardly tell a difference in a church member and somebody that's lost. Amen. It's rough and it's tough, but we have to have it this morning. We've got to have warnings. They was looking for all the telltale signs of him coming in, and they've been trained in this, and we are failing, training them to keep our eyes evident. One of the number one things tearing our nation and tearing our country and tearing our homes apart today is pornography. Tearing it apart. 70-something percent of it is of men who partake in this. A big percentage of women who partake in this. And it comes so easily, it comes so slightly. And the reason it's such an epidemic is you can do it. And no one has an idea you've been involved with it. And the old man we are, he tends to find ways to get into wrong things. And I promise you, the worst thing you can have is idle time. Idle time will get you in a mess. But listen, this is just one little evidence of the enemy coming into our homes. You realize that old Satan knows he's our enemy. He knows where to attack us at. He knows that if he attacks our family, which if you study the Word of God, the family was instituted before the church was. He knows if he can tear the family apart, he's got the church. If he can tear the church apart, nobody's hearing the gospel. Nobody's hearing about Jesus Christ. Nobody's hearing there's a way to salvation. If he gets our families tore down, y'all, he has got us. Let me tell you, young couples and young people in here, you better get your children rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You better not only read it to them, you better live it in front of them. If you don't, the enemy will come and he will snatch them away. I promise you. When Amberly went off to college, I realized how guilty I was of not preparing her for what was coming. It was coming. I knew it was coming. How did I know it was coming? I'd been there, Rudy. I knew what was about to head her way as she got there, around all those other young people and all the temptations they are, and I don't care who you are. Preacher's daughters get a bad rep, I know that, and she probably fits the bill pretty good. But listen, we're all tempted. We're all guilty. And unless we've been warned of this, unless we've been taught in this, unless we've been trained in this, how easy can the enemy get into our lives? Very easy. We don't have time to go into all the training. We should be going into all the training in our Sunday school classes and in our Bible school, and we do. I'm not saying we don't do that, but we need to enforce it. We need to grow in it. We need to further it, that we're watching for him, that we know what's coming. And listen, in our churches, we need to be a watch on this joker. He will sneak in any way he can. And most of the time, you realize if a church is ever destroyed, very seldom in our country does somebody walk in and says, "Hey, you churches got to break up. No longer do we want this thing. Y'all got to break up and go on." Every church you've ever read about, you've ever studied about that was split, it started from within. Satan put a little bit of pride in somebody's heart. He put a little bit of hate in somebody's heart. He put a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of strife, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Before long, the whole church is split up over something that didn't amount to anything. Very seldom do you see a church split over the Word of God, over the doctrine. Very seldom, probably never. Now, we had a bunch years ago about the music. We could talk about that all day long. But listen, if we got this doctrine right, nothing should be able to split us. But the enemy comes. He begins planting little seeds. Little seeds. And these watchmen was trained to know. Why do we need? Let me do something. Isaiah 56, 8 through 12. Let me show you. Let me show you right here what's missing in our watchmen. What was missing in those watchmen of those days? Listen to what Isaiah says. The Lord God, which has gathered the outcasts of Israel, yet I will gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. All you beasts of the field come to devour ye, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen, listen to this. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own and every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Boy, does that not sound like so much we are hearing today. God's watchmen, it said it right there. I didn't say it. It said they're dumb. They can't speak. That's what it means. They can't speak or they won't speak. It says they're slumbered. They're asleep. And boy, it spoke to me as a pastor today. Hey, sometimes I'm up here asleep. Sometimes I'm up here and I'm not watching as I should be. And because they wasn't watching, the enemy will come and he'll jerk them away. And he'll snatch them away. But as God's watchman, and every one of us is God's watchman, I don't care if you've been called a preacher or not, I promised you, you're called to be a minister of the gospel. And we're to be watching. We're not to be asleep as sleeping dogs that cannot bark. We're to be vigilant and always watching for this stuff and ready for the enemy so we can yell and say, "Hey, he's coming. It's time to wake up." And that's what I'm doing this morning, is telling you the enemy is at the door. I don't know how he'll try to come in, but when I promise you something, from day on out, I'm going to be watching for him. I'm going to be looking for him. If I see him, I'm going to speak up and say something. If you see him trying to get in this church, you speak up and say something. I don't care who it is or who's doing it. You need to speak up. We must. We must be watchmen. Let's move on. Why? Why do we need them? Why do we need watchmen? Of course, we done went over this. The enemy's come. John 10:10. It tells us a little bit about an enemy. The thief cometh, not but for to kill. But for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's why he's come, y'all. That's why he's trying to get in. He's trying to get in so he can do away with everything. Do you realize what Satan is? He is direct opposition to everything God wants to do. And God, what God wants to do, brother, is going to be done. And Satan, well, number one thing you've got to understand, and I'm going to read something to you in just a minute from Billy Graham, but he made the greatest point I've ever read. He said the greatest thing to remember about Satan is he's our greatest enemy. He's at direct opposition of God. But what's greater than that is he is a defeated foe. He's already an arrested thief. At the end of this thing, he's going to be thrown into that lake of fire to ever be done with. And I don't know about you, but I'm so ready for that. I'm tired of him bothering me. I'm tired of him messing with us. And I know when you study the scriptures, very few people has Satan himself actually come to, but he's got these cronies that work for him that come and give us fits every single day. And you can get into that. We could fuss over it, but we're not going to do that. But listen, he's coming. Let me read you what Billy Graham said. I had to print this thing off. I couldn't even come close to remembering this. Admired evangelist Billy Graham, 98 years old at the time this was written. I don't know when it was written, but he's an old, old man. And he has an important message to deliver all humankind before he passes away. It's a message that everyone should heed, especially nowadays. Billy Graham wants people to know that the devil is real. He's the root of all evil, and he is everywhere around us. He is a powerful, spiritual being whose goal is to turn us away from God. In a column he wrote, he said one of the devil's greatest tricks is to convince people that he doesn't exist. But Satan surely does exist, just as surely as God exists, and he isn't just a vague, impersonal force. He's a real person, that he is a real personality. Just as you and I can think and make decisions and act, so Satan can think and make decisions and act. The difference is that everything he does is evil without exception because he is totally opposed to God. Citing scripture as proof, Billy Graham wrote that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Billy Graham believes that Satan is engaged in a constant cosmic battle with God, and it reaches out and tempts our very souls. He is our enemy. The Bible says the most important fact you need to know about Satan, however, is that he is a defeated foe. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ overcame all the powers of death, evil, and someday his victory will be complete. On whose side are you? Don't turn your back on what Christ has done for you, but by faith put your life in his hands today. While Americans reportedly believe in God, they don't believe so much in Satan. The Gospel Herald, a Gallup survey, shows almost 90% of Americans do believe in God, which is comforting. But only 61% believe in Satan, according to the survey. The Gallup survey also asked respondents about their beliefs in angels, heaven, hell, and Satan. With results showing beliefs in these four concepts dropped noticeably from 2007. This concerns Billy Graham, who said Satan is very much real. He says, I know Satan is real by looking at the world around me and even within my own heart. I'm going to stop right there. Billy Graham said he knows Satan is real from his own heart. Billy Graham, a man who has preached and millions have come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Billy Graham says, I know Satan is real because of evil that's in my own heart. And I began thinking about that statement, and I studied on it, and I thought on it, and boy, what a revelation it is to know the reason I have those evil desires, the reason I'm jealous sometimes, the reason I do this, and I'm in direct opposition with God sometimes, is this old Satan, the enemy. It's evidence. You want evidence? Look inside your own heart. The reason you desire to do those things, nothing evil has ever been, never will be from God. Yes, he created evil. He had to, and we'll study about that one day. But listen, evil is real, Satan is real, and he desires to have you and to sift you as wheat. And only 61% of a Christian nation believes he's real. Now, if you believe God's real, you had to get that from the Scripture. Does the Scripture not also speak about Satan? It speaks about him being the most beautiful creation God ever created. It speaks about why he was overthrown. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be God. He thought he was better. God had made him. Yes, God could have done away with him. It wasn't God's plan. God has made a plan to do away with him, and it will come to pass. But listen, Scripture plainly teaches that enemy is real. And why we need watchmen is to be watching for that real enemy and to be ready and to be yelling and to be screaming. Let's do something. Billy Graham is up there. He don't have much strength. He's probably getting close to 100. I don't know when this was written. But let's say he's 99 years old and he don't have a lot of strength anymore to stand and yell. But he's still typing stuff. He's still writing. He's still warning lost souls. If you don't repent and turn to Jesus Christ, then the hell will be your home. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to be a watchman. He's not afraid to stand. In his last closing statements of that article, he says he's a very powerful spiritual being who is absolutely opposed to God. He wants us to understand that. He's very real, and he's directly opposed to everything that God wants for your life and for my life. So we need these men. We need these men watching and always ready and always vigilant. Let me ask you something today. How many we have standing? I'm not talking about these. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm a sinful man myself. The only thing separating me and anybody else is the grace of God through faith. Listen, why so many people teaching these false doctrines? Why are they doing this? The enemy has sowed this in their heart that if they tell the truth, then their congregations will shrink. If they do this, listen, I read about the pastor out in Dallas, Texas, Brother Jeffries, I think his name is, on Fox News. He come to pastor that church, and it was a normal-sized church for Texas, and he come there, and the Lord laid on his heart to simply preach the Bible. He don't add anything. He don't take anything away. When he started pastoring, he told the deacons, he said, I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to preach all the way through Revelation in sequence. In sequence. I'm going to preach it from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelations, back to back. Deacon said, if you do this, the church will fail. If you do this, it'll pass away. Nobody's going to want to hear it. They're going to know what's coming. Nobody's going to be excited. Brother Jeffrey started preaching the Bible from Genesis. And before he got to Revelations, he was pastoring the biggest Baptist church in the state, United States of America. Simply obeying God, preaching the Word of God. May I tell you today, watchmen, it still works. It still works. Be yelling that scripture from the rooftop. It's still something that'll turn hearts of men. Let me ask you this one. We got to move on. Where do we need these watchmen? In those old days, it was simple. They would put them on a wall. Some of them had towers. They would get up in the easiest answer to that question is we need them in the high places. We need them in high places. If you're going to look for, y'all remember when they used to have old fire towers? I remember when I was a kid going down, I think it's 33 over there at Fruithurst. There's a big old fire tower. You could crawl up in it. You weren't supposed to, and I never did because I'm scared of heights, but had friends who crawl up in that thing, and they say you could see forever. If you're going to be watching for an enemy, which fire was the enemy to them trees, you had to be watching. You had to be where you could see. In high places. High places. Of course, the number one place we need is in our churches. Deacons, we need to be watchmen. Church members, we need to be watchmen. Teachers, we need to be watchmen up on the wall screaming, I see something from the enemy. Let's take it now. Let's do away with that thing before he gets in here. Need them in our churches. We need them in our homes. Men, you are the head of the household. I don't want to hurt your feelings today and tell you, but the bottom line of it is it may not be in your house, but I know in my house I have failed to be the watchman. Sometimes, not only are we not watchmen, sometimes we open the door wide open. Say, come on in, enemy. Come on in. You can take up residence here. Men, you'll be leading your family the way God has told you to lead, and the way God's told you to lead is in the scriptures. You want to know how to raise your kids? Get in the book. You want to know how to love your wife? Get in the book. You want to know how to do anything you need to do at home? You get in this book. We need them at churches. We need them at homes. We need them in our local communities. We need community leaders, and I believe we have one in our community here, but we need one that's not afraid to stand up and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in a town setting, in a city, and in a community. We need leaders who's not afraid to say that Jesus is the only way. I went to a thing last night for Ramron football, and there was even some people from down here there. It was amazing. Rudy? But we went, we had a good time, and no, I didn't pay for it. Sammy Jackson bought my ticket, and I thank you, Sammy, if you ever turn on Facebook and listen. But listen, we went there, and I was, as they was doing all this, I began thinking, man, what great it is. Not only was that a football fundraiser, Coach Tim Smith stood up, and one of the greatest men I've ever been blessed to know, and it was truly a great teacher. He stood up, and I thought he was going to about preach when they asked him to give the blessing. And there was people in there that probably, I'm sure, don't know the Lord. And he stood up in a community setting and nothing had anything to do with church. And he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need men like that. We need people in our schools like that. We need teachers that's not afraid to do it. And I believe we have some in Cleveland County. Our community, our nation. We need them in our nation. We need men. You realize Billy Graham, I've read story after story. Franklin Graham may come a little bit in his father's footsteps. But until Franklin began stepping up, we didn't have a single man who was going to fill the position of Billy Graham in our nation. Every president that there has been, outside of one, I'm not going to call names, has went to him for advice. has went to him for prayer, has went for him to get on his knees and to seek God for him. We need men like that in our nation. We need to vote for men like that in our nation. Godly men who's not afraid to proclaim Jesus Christ, not caring what any group wants to do. They may want to throw him out of office, and they surely will when he says the name of Jesus, but we need those men. We need watchmen. How do we get them? How did they get watchmen back in that day, and how do they get them now? We grow them. We grow them. Starts right here. Starts those kids that usually sit right here. We grow them. We begin training them. Let me tell you, and I am guilty, one of the greatest failures of the modern church, living in the church age we're in now, we talked about it in Sunday school, in the dispensation of grace, the greatest failures of our church age, not just our church, but every church there is in our nation, throughout the world, is a failure in discipling. Is a failure in discipling. We'll get them saved, we'll come by and shake their hand, and bless God we're done with them. They're great. They're okay. Let's just let them go. And we wonder, why their church is not growing? Why is nobody doing this? It's pretty simple. The reason a church don't grow is you don't do the Great Commission. It says go into all nations and make disciples of them, does it not? Make disciples of them. You was a disciple. It's a student of. Teaching them the ways of Jesus Christ. Leading these young ones in a way. Listen, I think we do a good job at our church, but I'm talking about churches all over. We have failed of doing these disciples. We have failed of raising young men. We failed of raising men to be leaders in our home because we think we got to do into what this community does, and they're doing it over here. They're doing it this way. This one doing it this way. I tell you, we must do it by the Word of God. We must raise young men who's not afraid to stand in their homes and proclaim Jesus Christ. We must raise young men who pray and have God to give them the spouse they're to have. Young women who pray and have God to give them. Now, the spouse they have not matter. Hey, it shouldn't even matter what we look like, although I believe that when God has a person for us, and I believe He had that, I believe when He created us, I believe He had a helpmate prepared for us. I believe He did. And I believe He makes an attraction, not just physical, but emotional and spiritual attraction to that person. We need to search God and pray to God and ask Him to show us who that is, that we may have homes that is full of watchmen. Must get to a part where we're not worried. We're living in a nation now that is scared to say anything about anybody because it might hurt your feelings. And this one plays softball. We teach Little League softball down at Rammer, a coach, and I help Harold Forsythe do it. And I'm not all hard-hearted and bad as I wish I was sometimes, but one of the worst things that's ever happened to our nation is giving everybody a trophy. It's the worst thing that's ever happened. Yes, I hate to see a little child cry when he don't get one. And I know some of them ain't got the natural ability that others have. But it's the way that life is. It's the way life is. We need to prepare watchmen. We need to prepare children that's able to accept the truth. Able to accept that God has called them to be something. No matter what the rest of the world is doing, we must do this. Finally, in closing, Ezekiel 22, chapter number 30. Boy, this verse hits me so hard. He says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. But I found none. Let me ask you a very personal question this morning. This is not just men, this is to all people in this church. If God was searching Heflin, Alabama, seeing who He could get to stand in the gap for Him, who would stand in the gap and say, Jesus Christ is the only way? He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only way that you'll ever be to God. This is Him. Who will stand in the gap and meet the needs of those and minister to those that don't know Christ and love them even when they don't love them back? Who can honestly raise their hand and tell me that that scripture wouldn't have been written if they was in that day? If that Heflin, Alabama was the city He's talking about, would this scripture have still been written? I found none. The sad thing is yes, it would have been. Because we're all sinful human beings. It's not an excuse, but it is the truth. We put ourselves before God. We sang that song earlier, and I thought we were about 50 or 60 bunch of liars standing here this morning. And I was one of them. We're singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, really? What did you do last week? What did you do the week before? What was you involved in? You shouldn't have been here. You're sitting here singing, oh, how I love Jesus, according to the scriptures. If you love him, you're supposed to love him with your heart, your soul, your mind, your body. That's your whole being. We lie more probably singing those songs anytime we speak throughout the week. It's hard and it's tough. But God is searching today for watchmen. He's looking for watchmen. As we come with a verse of invitation, will you be a watchman? Will you be a watchman for God? Will you be standing on that wall? When you see the enemy come, will you proclaim it? Hey, not just at church, men, will you proclaim it in your homes? Are you willing? You see, the reason that I think that we're not been proclaiming it is we don't have enough men in the high places. We're burdened down so much with our own sin, we can't watch for the enemy. We're not in high places. We're in low places, burdened down. I've told y'all, I've run since I was 19 years old. Don't look like it, but I have. I've run 2 or 3 miles at least a week, most time 2 or 3 times a day. A week, a day. But I've got, trying to lose a little bit of weight lately. And as I began losing that weight, you know what happened? It got easier to run. I thought, man, my legs is getting stronger. My lungs is getting better. My heart's getting better, Terry. And all of a sudden a thought came to my mind, no, dummy, you're carrying less. You're carrying less. If you're going to run, you don't eat everything in the house and get this big and try to run a marathon. The Bible says lay all the weights aside and run a race that God's called you to run. That was kind of comical what I said. But it holds true in our meaning of watchmen. We can't be watchmen because our eyes are so full of the sin of our own lives. We can't see the enemy approaching. And he's got into our homes. He stole marriages. He stole our youth. He stole our churches. When he's done that, he's got our communities. Sad to say, he's got our nation. Greatest nation that God has ever blessed is the United States of America. You study it. Israel was his people, but God has blessed our country because we started out with him. You know we're about the same age of Haiti? Almost exactly the same age as Haiti. Haiti is the poorest, vilest nation on earth. Study it. Still one of the poorest. You know why? They started in voodoo. Started in voodoo religion the same time we started. We started as a nation based on the Bible. Not because we're special, not because we're anything, because we tried to adhere to God's laws. Did God bless our country? It's by God's grace and mercy our country is still here today. 200-something years, he's still blessing. Why? Because there's people sitting here in churches today and in other churches still praying people. Still people calling, God bless our nation. God use us. And I still say this, and I will say it. I believe there's more Christians still in the United States of America than some of them think. I think we're still a Christian nation. I believe we still care about the things of God. As you stand today, will you be honest? Will you be a watchman? Will you be a watchman for God? One that's not afraid of what everybody else is going to say. I promise you something. That watchman was not popular when he began hollering. When he began screaming, the enemy's coming, because you know why? There could have been birthday parties going on. Could have been social events going on. And everybody wanted to be a part of it. And they said, this idiot is hollering again. What are we going to do? The ones who chose to take cover were secure. The ones who stayed doing what they'd always been doing, not listening to the watchman, the iniquity was on them. Where are you today? The warning's been given. Jesus Christ is going to return. And if you're, hey, either he's returning, you're going that way, or you're going to die. You're going by the way of the grave. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're not getting out of this thing alive. What's it going to be? Are you going to listen to the watchman and seek refuge in Jesus Christ? See, once I've given my warning, once Brandon's give his warning, or any other preacher stands and gives a warning, the blood's off our hands. It becomes your turn to do something with a message. What will you do this morning as we sing? Thank you. doors of the church. Ushers will come forth. We'll take up our regular Sunday morning's time.